fart.
All right. We're up and running.
Yep, we're good to go.
Okay. Usually Kevin's a little more enthusiastic with the music.
And he's like, well, they're going to.
But now you were. Yeah, but literally this time you were like this.
Or what?
Like you were annoyed with what was going on right now.
I didn't know what to do. Yeah, you didn't
do that. Welcome to Street Smart Christian. I'm your host, Adam, with my guest host, Brandon. We have special. What?
He's not even in the camera.
All right.
I'm on a camera. Marker.
Here we go. Welcome to Street Smart Christian with my host, Kevin. I'm Adam. We have a special guest today.
Yeah.
Kevin, why don't you introduce our guest? You forgot his name.
You do this every time. I'm not the introducer, man.
All right. I know. I had to do it on purpose. Okay.
Who better to introduce themselves than themselves?
That's not how podcasts work.
That's how a cop out works. We have a special guest today, Antone Sellers. Antone, the young man that's been involved in our church for a number of years. He played the drums.
He's grown up here, huh?
He grew up in the church.
Yep.
He was a outstanding member in the FCA in Calhoun. Graduated from Calhoun High School. He's now in flight, or did flight school.
You did it already.
I'm not done yet.
No, he's not done, but he worked with the bass player in our worship team, Ryan.
Oh, Ryan.
Monty?
I didn't know Monty flew planes, but.
Yeah. You didn't know Ryan
was? I know
was,
Ryan did.
Yeah. So he's been working with that. Welcome to the podcast, Antone.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be
welcome.
Here.
Round of applause with our live studio audience. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Happy to have you here, Antone.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah. There it is. Dang, you guys are slow. Since I lost my button privileges.
So a couple of things that we're going to touch on today is I've been putting out individual videos for Street Smart Christian on a little bit of devotionals, 365 days of Do Not Fear. Doing some Bible stuff online. I put out there on Snapchat and everything else that I wanted questions. People to bring us questions and stuff like that to help me grow in the ministry. And so I'm just but us would include you putting out videos too.
Ooh, that's fired. I don't do it either.
I gave you the microphone.
Bro, I lost it.
All right. Either way, I started doing that, and Antone, out of nowhere, on Snapchat, submitted a question.
A good
one.
And
he says we should address women behind the pulpit. Now, me and you have kind of done a little bit of a podcast on that.
I know it was
me
like and you first or second.
It was...
done a couple times.
It was right about the middle, and me and you have talked about it because we've both experienced situations where people that we knew or people that we were hanging out with felt a different or a kind of way about that. And I hear where he's coming from because it seems like lately in social media, on YouTube, in just the life in general, the world, is really pushing this issue. I've listened to a lot of different prestigious theologians, different pastors, different biblical scholars, and I've sent you some videos of their points of view with a well-known biblical scholar that, you know, went and got all of his doctorates through everything, and then tried to explain his way out of women behind the pulpit, women in leadership in the church. I mean, there's so many different angles that people... I remember really young in my faith, and I say that by saying just a few years ago, young in my faith, not meaning young in age, I put out a thing that John MacArthur had probably himself didn't put on Facebook, but his team put a quote from John MacArthur. And I thought, well, John MacArthur said it. It's got to be true, right? And so I put it out there, and he put that women preachers were an abomination to the Christian faith. Women preachers, and it was really harsh.
It's brutal.
But I'm like, well, I'm young gun at the faith. I'm going to, and boy, did I get ripped apart one way and down the other. You are speaking about a time when Paul not only wrote to the Corinthians, but he wrote to Timothy and he wrote to Titus. You know, the entire book of Titus and the entire books of Timothy is how to establish the church. This mm-hmm. is when he's building the church and how every role in the church is supposed to go. She said, well, you're speaking of a time when women were thought less than men. This is the time. And Paul, you know, had whatever feelings
were they,
he
though?
Had. That, well, that's what I'm trying to get at now, mm-hmm. is that Paul wrote these letters, mm-hmm. and Paul had something against women. You know, Paul also was the one who wrote that if you can take the road of not being married, then don't, take that. Yeah, don't. But if you can't control your sexual urges, you can't control this and that, then yes, get married. But if you can control that, then it's better to not be married.
Interesting.
Now, there's a lot of people that argue the fact that Paul, when he was establishing all these churches during that time, he had a less than or lesser view of women at the time. Because in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the women's role being you keep your mouth shut in church. You stay silent.
I mean,
if you have any questions, you don't bring them up in church. You wait till you get home mm-hmm. and you ask your husband.
Oh.
You ask your husband, right?
We just plug back in their brains, dude.
So that's that role. And then in Timothy, he talks about, you know, women are to keep silent in the church.
Cover your head.
Cover your head. Don't braid your hair. Don't wear make all that stuff, right? There's a lot of that stuff that you don't do.
Yeah.
So there's so much to unpack here. When he, you know, me and you have talked about this before and we've listened to a bunch of people, but when he presented this question, I was like, I was going to do it on one of them videos in the backdrop and all that and address this. But then I prayed about it and I'm like, and then you just happened to, hey, can I be a part of you guys' youth group and everything? I'm like, well, perfect. The guy that led me to the gallows will be here on the podcast, right. Baby, and we're all going to go to the gallows together. But there's so many different opinions on this, especially in the generations, not only for me, you, Brandon, but Antone's generation that's even younger than us, more, you know, closer to your generation, but this is a really touchy subject. Like I said, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about women keep their mouth shut. I listened to a good Bible teacher, Alan Parr, that I've shared with you.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
He talked about it, and he agreed with the biblical teachings of the leadership role in the church. However, he thought when it came to keeping silent in church, that may have been due to the culture to the Corinthians at the time. Maybe there was things getting really messed up and the women at the time in Corinth.
Well, there was a time in the Bible where there were prostitutes in the church.
Right.
I mean, that was like a common practice.
So when it comes to,
like, literally you could pay at the church, like, it's, that makes no sense to me.
Where I agreed with Brother Parr was women keeping completely silent in church. I don't agree with that because I think that women do have a voice in the church.
Right. So
now that voice,
Anton,
Antone. I ever sorry, mess up dude. His name again.
I'm sorry, bro. When you bring that question to us, I'm assuming that you've done your research on it too, right? Have you read anything about it that really sticks out to you?
Yes.
I mean, it's a tough topic.
It is. It's a really hard topic, mm-hmm. but that's why it's so intriguing to me, because when I look at it, you know, through FFA, I've known a lot of great mm-hmm. speakers, great leaders, and a lot of them are female.
Yeah, right.
So then I'm thinking, okay, well, so that's kind of where, like, that's kind of what initiated that thought.
Yeah.
But then you go and you read in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how, you know, men First are the head of the church.
Not second, my bad.
And then, time you know, men are the head of women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about like I'm not even going to misquote the Bible. I was looking at it just to make sure.
Yeah, you got it, bro. I don't even know what I did with my actual Bible.
Perfect. There it is.
I had to study today.
Bro, so. Brennan, pull it up, dude.
Dude, where's it at? What did we even pay you for, dude?
We didn't put my screen up yet.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah. Baby. It's right there, dude.
Do you get a paycheck from your dad?
Yeah.
Do you even pay rent?
Yeah.
No, you get a TV, bro.
I do pay rent.
Just kidding, man. All right. Sorry about that, Anton.
No, it's fine. I was just, you know, and 1 Corinthians here is talking about how, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And every man.
Yeah, it's like a ladder.
Yeah, it shows the order. And then it talks about, you know, like how in the church, the men are the head of the church. And so then women are the head of women, still man, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that brings up the question, like I was asking, okay, well, where's the place of women?
Back it up, dude. In his face right now.
No, it's fine. And so then it brings up the question, okay, well, where is the place of women in the church, right? And so I actually had this discussion with my parents, because once again, I bring up the idea of like, all right, so my mom is someone who's very insightful in the Bible. She always brings in a different perspective and kind of allows it. Yes, very knowledgeable. Yeah, my sister is also very knowledgeable of the Bible. Right. And then there's, you know, other people. I don't know if I can name them or not.
If you do, and you don't want them, we'll beep them out.
Right. So other people.
It's not like you're just cursing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love that. No. But then there's other women I know, and they're very.
My mom teaches the Bible. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. This person. Yeah. But anyway, these other people I know, they're very knowledgeable about the Bible. Some mm-hmm. of the greatest public speakers I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. And they're female. Sure. So I'm thinking, why wouldn't God want to use them to deliver the word? And right. So then when I was talking about it with my parents, we kind of came to a conclusion, and it wasn't that they can't deliver
the message,
right, but not from behind the pulpit,
right?
Right. So then women have a leadership role in youth groups, in children's church,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Or like I look at somebody like Sadie Robertson, right? She's given speeches in front of, you know, an arena of people.
I don't know who that is.
Well, you wouldn't. That's all right. I know who you're talking about.
And so, is she in the wrong for doing that?
Nope. We'll put her picture up.
Okay.
But is she in the wrong for doing that?
No.
And so then we're talking about it. Well, it's not from behind the pulpit.
No.
Right? And so that's where the deciding factor mm-hmm. is, where it's delivered. And because she's delivering her speech, a pastor's delivering a sermon. Yeah. I think that's the difference.
So, just to piggyback off of what you're saying with that, I've been to a lot of men's Bible studies. I've been to a lot of studies here at the church that just include men. And a lot of times the topic is women and their leadership role anywhere. There's some people that think that men are the leaders of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and women are always supposed to be. So those men will think that there shouldn't be a woman president. There shouldn't be a woman vice president, a governor, you know, so on and so forth. So that always stuck. I'm like, well, then, man.
That is a hard segue.
And so I got married to my wife, and I'm like, she's so good at so many things.
She's a teacher.
And yeah, well, that was okay mm-hmm. because they're teaching kids. But I'm like, man, I take so much of what my wife. So I started doing systematic theology classes and Bible studies with a guy that goes to church here. And he's very knowledgeable and he's very hard-nosed when it comes to these things. I mean, he is so hard-nosed, like, you know, women wear head coverings, this and that. I'm like, this is the perfect guy to ask about women's leadership. And so I waited a while, but then I'm like, all right, I'm going to bring this up and just let him smoke me with this. Like, tell your wife to shut her mouth and don't ever, you know. And I asked him, and he's like, yeah, in the church. In the church, women aren't supposed to lead men.
Spiritually.
In the church.
Yeah, see, that's...
Outside of the church, there are women, and he said, that are way more intelligent
than qualified.
Way more qualified, and it's not... So, in the job, like at your job, a woman can be your boss.
I mean, I have that. I have a boss, female boss, and she's probably been the best boss I've ever had.
Run the country is not running the church.
Right.
So a woman can run the country. So that's where it gets twisted, is when we start talking about women behind the pulpit, women automatically take defense, saying that guys are saying that you can't do anything. And yeah, that's simply not the case.
I mean, yeah, it's hard not to do that, because if you're not allowed to do this, then you want to assume it's the worst, right? We all do that. Men, women, kids, all of us as humans. I mean, but like I said, I have a female boss and she's a great leader. You know, she knows her stuff. We work, you know,
and so
with important things, and I trust whatever she says, you know what I mean? And
people,
it's one of those things.
Theologians, people in the church and this and that, they take...
Did you just fart over there?
Passages like 1 Timothy 2:12. No. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over men. Rather, she is to remain quiet, period. That's what it says in 1 Timothy. So they're like, well, that's it. What they don't understand is that's Paul's letter to Timothy building the church.
The church specifically, you know.
Right.
In the church...
Because Timothy took that and was like, yeah, I'm going to lay down the law.
Well, he did it with Timothy. Well, Timothy didn't want to at all, because he was in his 30s, and he's like, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm too young. I'm only in my 30s. And Paul's like, no, this is... So when I got attacked by the female from the Methodist church, I said, no, that's just the way...
Verbally,
she attacked you.
Verbally
attacked.
Come on, dude. It sounds like you make it sound like she jumped you on the street.
Everybody, if they've been listening, they know what I'm talking about. Said the things that she said, and said that this is just Paul's point of view. Well, then we should go from Romans, Acts and just get rid of the whole until Revelation. Get rid of that, because everything is Paul's point of view then, and nothing should be like, if the whole Bible is inspired by God and God breathed, then obviously it's not. We should stop after John and just get rid of the rest of it, because it doesn't matter. It would be just like our Jewish brothers and sisters saying that we're going to stop right before Matthew.
Yeah, right,
because
Christ,
none of that matters.
Which is what they do.
It's none of it's real. So if we're going to start splitting hairs on how Paul feels, read the Old Testament. Because if we, how Saul feels, how Joshua feels, how there was a lot of guys that did a lot of bad things that had a lot of different feelings, not only over females, but over people that didn't agree with him, David.
Not Joshua. I don't think Joshua did anything wrong.
I don't know.
The dude went to jail.
You could
running away from adultery.
Right. Well, just anybody in the Bible could have had their own point of view over anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And we could say, well, I like what Joshua said, but I don't like what David said.
Right.
Yeah. I like what Moses said, but I don't really agree with Noah. Why didn't he get dinosaurs and unicorns on the ark?
Right. No, and that's
piggybacking off of that, that's exactly right. Because if you start nitpicking, you start saying, oh, this isn't right, but this is, that would invalidate the whole Bible.
The entire thing. The same biblical scholar that I sent to Kevin that was arguing the fact that the Bible contradicts itself by saying that there is no biblical proof that specifically says women can't be preachers. That is true because preacher wasn't, I don't think, in the Bible, in the Hebrew or the Greek, the word preacher, which is just teacher, wasn't in the Bible.
Which rabbi is teacher.
He's like, well, and then he also said that, well, if women aren't supposed to lead men, then why was Mary Magdalene an apostle? So that led me to go into the scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Mary Magdalene was an apostle. She was, yes, the first person to see Christ risen.
Yeah.
And he told her, go and tell the other apostles and John about what you've seen. He didn't say, hey, apostle Mary, go tell the other apostles. No, he said, Mary, go tell the other apostles. That would be like me saying, Anton, go tell my friends what you saw. Does that mean I said, Anton, my friend?
Right. That's like Anton, you're my best friend now. Go tell my other friends.
Yes. It kind of points towards Jesus was saying, Mary,
he hates me.
You're an apostle, so go tell the other apostles.
Can he just be your friend, dude?
He just wants to
be your friend.
I mean, I know you keep blocking him with your bill of your hat, but.
Ah, jeez.
Sorry, I'm not fine, much. Dude. I got a face for radio, you know?
A lot of our listeners are just listeners.
Yeah.
Not seers.
Viewers.
Yeah.
Sorry to our viewers out there.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. Adam kind of does.
Adam lives for views.
The thing that I took away, though, from the whole thing is, biblically speaking, it says clearly women aren't supposed to take the role behind the pulpit to lead the church. It says that. However, it doesn't say that there isn't any significance to the women's role in the church. Women.
No, it's huge in the church, man. I mean,
it's just like men.
It's the lifeblood
right
behind it, you know? Like,
women are supposed to raise up their kids in the word.
I don't know about you guys, but I can't plan for much.
And that's, women have, you know, such a significant, like, role in everyday life. Just like we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church. Yeah. That's pretty huge.
So I can go through.
We're supposed to give the same amount of love to them as they are. Yeah. What? Oh. No. Women are to raise up the little ones in the way of Christ. Women have a huge role in children's church, youth group, women's conferences.
Yeah, man.
Huge. Sadie Robinson talks in huge groups. Like he said, she's not behind the pulpit, you know, preaching on this is what you have to do, follow this or you're screwed. There's a difference between Sadie Robinson and Beth Moore. The other gal, I forgot her name.
Brandon, who is it?
That's fine.
Both look at him and he just looks away.
There's a huge difference between somebody who has a church, but that's not to say there isn't men that are out there that are supposed to be behind the pulpit either.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of them that shouldn't.
A calling, you know, and so there's a huge role for women in the church, outside of the church, in leadership. It's just not behind the pulpit. Just like there's things that men can't do.
What are your thoughts on that, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'd always heard, like, you know, women shouldn't be behind the pulpit. And I remember when I was in Fort Collins, I found what I thought was a good church. And then all of a sudden they had a woman pastor up there. And it made me be like, wait, that's not like following the Bible, right? Like, that's because
that's not saying that she wasn't well-versed,
right,
or did not know her Bible.
And like you said, it's funny because, you know, at this church, whenever they do like a women's conference or something, it's not like they don't call her a pastor. She's a speaker. Mm-hmm. So like you said, there's a difference between, you know, someone being behind the pulpit giving a sermon rather than a speech.
I mean, it's the same thing. At a women's conference, there isn't a male speaker.
Yeah, that would be weird, that right? That would be a little bit. None of them would like that. They'd be like, nah, dude.
At a men's conference, there isn't a female speaker. Relatability. You know what I mean? So, you know, what I want to, I don't want us to lose female listeners or
yeah, whatever. We already did, bro.
Well, Antone took us by the hand and said, I see you guys are gaining numbers in your podcast.
Yeah.
Let me walk you right in front of the shooting spot.
Right under the guillotine.
But
no, it's good, dude. I mean,
here's what I want to know. Antone, you're the youngest among the group.
The youngest among us.
How, not just in leadership in general, how is this perceived in your generation? How is this perceived? I mean, obviously, I think your sister's probably been brought up to know that and okay with the fact that she's not going to be a preacher of a church.
Mm-hmm. What's the female version of pastor? Different word?
No, there is no.
Pastor?
Pastor means teacher.
Pastora?
No, it's not like female and male.
Professora?
But how was this, like, you were in a leadership role in the FFA.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you spoke of great leadership in females, but if it was down to you guys hanging out, talking about the pastoral roles, I don't know if that's ever happened, but what, even in FCA in high school and stuff like that, when you guys are building each other up, I mean, that's the goal, right? To build each other up in Christ. And then all of a sudden, yes, ladies, you can go this far, but this is where stops. I mean, how is that perceived in as far as you've seen?
So as far as my officer team, goes, I was very blessed to have, or to be surrounded by ladies and gentlemen who were very like-minded. And so they were on very much on the same page when it came to that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so, but then as far as like a culture, I think people my age see it more as a political issue. A biblical issue.
It's very politicized.
Yes.
Nowadays, I mean, it's a talking point.
It is.
Right.
Across the board.
It is. It's becoming more of a social justice thing instead of what does God want from us, right? Because people, instead of saying, you know what? Not people. Ladies, instead of me being front and center, I'm going to be the most important part of a man's life and be that supporting force. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it talks about, yeah, Paul says, if you have the gift of singleness, that's the key word to that. If you have the gift of singleness, then you're better off not marrying.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us do not. Yes. And so we need that lady behind us mm-hmm. to support us in marriage, whether that's spiritually, physically, emotionally. I mean, through
right.
everything.
So there it is right there. I mean, they're spiritually supporting their husband.
Right.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
And you know, you would think that people would be like, well, women can't spiritually do that, right? Bible is saying no, it's from behind that the head,
mm-hmm.
the ladders, like you said,
right?
Yeah, I like that, dude.
Yeah, so I think it's seen more as a cultural issue instead of what does God want from us, because a lot of times, and I know I do this too, I'm not saying
people, yeah, no one...
as I do this too, but it's well, what do I think is best? Mm-hmm. Well, God made us, He knows what's best for us, mm-hmm. and so we need to do what He says because He knows what we need. We think we do.
Best, bro.
Right. And so, you know, for the female position, I truly believe is the most important piece, but they're from a behind the scenes supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was very well spoken.
Much better than what you
Thank
and
you
Kevin
for tuning
said
in to Street Smart Christian.
you just talk over our producer. Is that just what you do, bro?
He's not even doing his job.
He was just saying things, bro.
Why
you got, hey. You got glitter in your mustache?
He has a
you.
Mustache.
Oh, I'm monitoring levels. Okay, making sure Antone sounds crystal clear.
No, we need that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is such a hard topic, but that's what we're supposed to do is talk about the hard things because this world is lost. Right. We're all searching for the right answers, and the guidance, and you know, we're all afraid. It's an inherent thing for us to be afraid.
So,
but if we don't have these hard conversations, there's no answers that are going to be given by God, because we're not asking the right questions.
I've talked to you, Kevin, about this a couple of times. We've obviously had a lot more heart to hearts after our podcast when it was just me and you, and it was perfectly fine before we brought in a producer that was like, well, let's wait 6 months before we put one out and let me make an Bitmoji of myself talking.
Hey, it wasn't my fault. You watch it, dude. It's funny.
I know. I saw it. It's very good. And I have to give you a hard time, because that's what your role is here now. It's
right.
For us to vent.
Yeah.
Take all our anger out on you.
Why do you still do it to me then, dude?
I'm not. I haven't all night tonight. I've been doing it to him.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm the target.
So, back to what I was going to say is there's, you know, I'm married and there's three, I don't know, single guys.
You're just rubbing it in at this point.
No, I'm not, because this is a really important question. Okay, yeah, I've talked to you about it, so I know what yours is, but there's three single guys in here.
We have the gift of singleness. Is that what you called it?
Exactly. So there's one out of four people that get married and the rest have the gift of singleness. So
those are pretty good odds, you know?
I was. You know, that's funny you said that, because when he said that, the gift of singleness, in my head I was already going, one out of four have the gift, and I was going to go right at you, but I didn't attack you. I immediately attacked him.
Thank you.
So there we go.
I'll take it.
Thank you for tuning in to Street Smart. no, but in a real level, okay, so you guys, let's just say, are in the dating pool. I'm including everybody because I don't even know I'm looking at you, because I know what you're going to do. You're out there in the dating pool, okay? And let's say that a nice young lady, Christian lady, finds each one of you guys. Different ladies. I hope it's not the same one, because that'll be a problem here. And you guys start dating, you go on a few dates, but then that topic comes up. And let's just say this potential is like, hey, I want to be a pastor, and that's what my goal is, and that's what I'm striving for, and I'm going to seminary because they allow that, and I'm going to get my doctorate, and I'm going to get this and that. What is the conversation for you guys? Because for me, I was blessed to not be confronted with that, because everybody else I dated before my wife was way off in left field from the Christian world.
Right.
That wasn't a conversation. But then when I met my wife, I wouldn't bring that up necessarily on a first date. Like, how do you feel about this? But she immediately was like, no, I know what my role is as a woman in the marriage. I'm going to tell you what to do, but you can do what you want in the ministry. You know what I mean? All jokes aside, it was an unspoken agreement of she knew, and she, which a lot of the ladies in our church know.
She's added so much to this, bro. Like,
and. Yeah, for sure.
To your us, sister, to, like, it's crazy.
For everything, it's incredible what she has brought behind the scenes.
It is an unsung
and
hero.
Quietly, man. Yeah. But my question is for you guys, is how do you approach that now?
You know what I would be curious as, like, if there was a woman trying to become a pastor, it'd be like, okay, well, how are you going to handle if you're reading that part of the Bible? You're reading those verses.
Oh, I just don't read it.
Yeah, right? It's telling you. Yeah. Black and white, that hey, you know, this isn't the case yet.
Right. And then she says, well, that was Paul. Paul was a chauvinist. He was, you know,
right.
He wasn't a fan of the girls. That was just Paul.
But then that goes back to like what we were saying.
Yeah.
Then it invalidates.
Exactly.
Invalidates the whole Bible. Didn't you ask the next question? Do you really
believe the Bible? Because if you don't, then obviously not. You know?
So let's say this isn't on the first date. This is. You guys been dating for 6 months, and you're like, man, I really like. And then this comes up. How do you deal with that?
So actually, how that happened?
Okay,
yep. I've had that happen too,
dude.
Bro.
This is why he is gonna be. That's why. Okay, Antone's a part of the team now.
Yeah. So I actually had that happen.
Dude, it was, bro.
I know that, but I wanted to say it on the internet.
Now it's official.
Thanks for stealing my thunder. All right.
But so I had that happen. And that wasn't the breaking point, but that was what was going to lead to the breaking point.
Okay.
And so, because that's one thing, my faith, I don't stray away from it. There's no bending. There's no compromising. I had somebody tell me, they go, well, is it really so bad if they believe in that? I go, you know, to me, yes, because that is, I'm looking at it, you know, in the future. So my kids, I'm telling them one thing and their mom's telling them another. How's that? What's that going to do? Yeah,
you're not equally yoked. Like, no. Those kids are going to be
right.
Just so
they're going to be lost
and lost even more in a lost world.
Right. Like, I mean, let's be honest. Trying to wrap your head around God and how he created the universe and every single cell. That's hard enough. And you can't. It says that in the Bible. You physically can't. But
well, that's a Job pretty clear.
Yes. And so then if you're adding another factor into that equation, then that just, that'll only push your kids away from faith as a whole.
So how did that conversation go? I mean, without going into details, obviously you don't need to say names or if you don't want to even answer that, like, you know, like I said, I've had a very similar thing too. I mean, you have that conversation, and what I pointed to was like, well, 2 Timothy.
Yeah.
Like, because this, the person that I had that conversation with, Christian, believer in Christ, like, what is your take on this?
Yeah.
And then that's where it laid. It ended. I mean, it was like, you know, it's a hard thing to grasp, even for me. Like, I reading it, I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
And it came up in my personal studies, and I'm just like,
oh, I need to tell her about it. Yep. That's what happened to me too.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. Yep.
Why, God? Why do I have to bring this up?
Yep. That's
like this. Everything is great right now. Everything's fine. Why do I have to do this? Like, you know, but then it worked out. I mean, it's in his plan, right? So it was the same thing for you, right?
Yeah. I was reading through 1 Corinthians, and then I saw that, and I remember I tabbed it. And so then I tabbed it, and I go, I need to talk about this. So then I kind of brought it back up, and I said, hey, you remember? And I kind of went about, and I said, this is why I believe what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then
your evidence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Because, I mean, what better evidence than the Bible itself? Yeah. And so then I said, all right, this is why I believe what I believe. And it kind of like pondered for a little bit. And I didn't push it because I feel like in a conversation like that, if you're trying to get, you know, to a similar conclusion, you can't force it and be like, shove it down the throat, be like, yeah, this is how it goes. No, I mean, you have to, this is why I believe. And then you have to let them come to that conclusion. Then at that point, it's between them and God.
Yeah, dude. That's great. We had such similar things. I mean, it was kind of including what you were talking about with being at a church, and then they bring up a female pastor, and it's like, whoa. And then I instantly feel convicted to be like, okay, you need to study the verses in the Bible that talk about this. Like, they address this in your spiritual walk, and it's like, dude, it doesn't make it easier, but when you actually study it, man, then you're putting your heart into it.
Right.
That's where God will work. And sometimes it sucks. But it's for the best, right?
I mean, yeah.
We have to have those hard conversations. I mean,
that's what if we don't have them, dude, we're all just going to continue to be lost.
Right.
Yeah. So, Brandon, what about your dating life?
Nice.
My bad, dude. I'm sorry.
Have you,
sorry.
Are your, like, for you, like how Adam talked about his previous relationships?
It was never.
Have you dated
up.
Any girls that really are Christian or on fire for the faith? Have you dated any girls like that or no?
I guess more so like it came to light that they weren't believers, but they saw, you know, who I am and what I was raised in and all this, and they became interested because I would talk to them about it.
A lot of ear candy.
Ear candy?
Yeah, not like eye candy, but ear. Oh. They say things to you like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Brandon was raised in a Christian family. He has a little bit of faith. So, yeah, hey, I believe in Jesus.
I guess it wasn't.
My family used to go to church.
But it wasn't them trying to, like, fake that they were that or anything. Right. They were actually interested, like, hey, maybe I ought to come to church with you, or maybe you could tell me more about that. You know, like they kind of became interested in it. But
for me, what it turned into was when I first got on fire for the Lord and I was really on my faith walk, you know, I had got out of a horrible relationship. So I thought, you know, all right, I'm going to do it all for God now. I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian.
Putting in all your chips for Jesus.
Yeah, so then girls would know that was my walk, yeah, whether it be social media or whatever it was, and they would approach and say, hey, yeah, me too. And then infatuation would take over, and it's like, oh, man, yeah, I really like this girl. I like. So then I would ignore scriptures
and
like
and for us guys, Timothy, that is a huge thing.
Oh, for sure. It, all those scriptures that every Christian man should be really pasting on their mirror in the bathroom, in their bedroom, above their headboard, whatever it is, I would be like, but Jesus forgives us all, right?
Right.
Like, I can be forget, like, I can't lose my salvation. So, you know, I accepted Christ. So tomorrow I'm going to ask him to forgive me because I made a mistake. And then it got ugly. Because that turns into this, that turns into that.
Yeah, you make exception, one exception for one thing, and it just, it's downhill.
Snowballs. It's the whole snowball. give an inch, take a mile, you know, the whole thing.
Give an inch, take a tickle, is that what you were about to say?
Yeah, so then it was like, then you just wake up one day and you're like, trying to have that conversation with God, and he's like, you've been ignoring me the whole time, so why should I listen to you? You know, it's that feeling of...
Yeah, you put yourself on the outside.
I've been listening to you the whole time, but you keep slapping me in the face. So,
so
that
hard,
pain
bro.
And that guilt that you feel inside, I can take that away. However,
you got to turn.
It doesn't matter.
Turn from your
repentance
sin,
doesn't mean stop doing something. It means turn away and try to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you may stumble and do it again, mm-hmm, but try. And when you're not willing to try, that guilt just builds up just like a pile of sand in your gut.
Yeah.
And it gets heavier and heavier. And you're just like, I don't know why I'm depressed. I don't know why I feel this way. It has to be because of this, that, the other. And yeah, it's not. It's God saying, are you ready to listen?
Right.
Because I've been smacking you in the back of the head this entire time. You keep wanting to talk to me when it's convenient for you.
Yeah. Right. I heard one of the greatest analogies to go along with that just the other day.
No.
So it was talking about how, you know, you're in a house, it's on fire, everything's going wrong, it's flooding, and just everything is going wrong.
And so on fire and flooding in the same
exactly
time.
That's bad.
Heaven's mind right now.
So
it's every day.
But then Jesus, he's at the door and he's knocking because he's a gentleman. So knocking, 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 just waiting for you to come answer the door. But then the devil and sin crawling through the windows, has their way, you know, takes everything from you, yeah, until you decide, you know what, I'm gonna go answer the door and let Jesus in and let him fix everything going on.
Yeah, because you're in there trying to patch a hole and it's filling up with water and
right, and then but then there's a fire.
You're like, dude, yeah, that's like that is a great analogy. Is that's it, right?
Yeah,
really cool. I like that.
Just let him in, dude.
Just let him in. He's a gentleman.
He won't stop knocking unless you like tell him, like, you know, that's the only way that you miss out on the free gift of salvation is you totally reject him.
Right.
What is that saying? Like, do you have your house cleaned up enough that if Christ knocked on the door, you'd invite him in, or do you just cram everything in the closet the last minute? Invite him in and hope he leaves soon so you can sort out your closet.
And see, that's such a negative way to accept Christ into your life, dude.
But I can guarantee that everybody in here, including us, has a bunch of junk crammed in a closet. That
multiple closets.
We stuff in there.
I got quite a few closets. So
I got a whole house of closets.
6 days out of the week, we cram all the stuff in the closet. We finally get that door shut on Sunday. We come in here. We smile. We shake hands. Mm-hmm. We hug everybody, praise the Lord, how you doing? And then we get home, and on Sunday night, that door starts bulging. By Monday morning, all the basketballs, everything just falls out on the floor, and you go, how do I cram all this back into a closet?
Right.
Instead of organizing it,
dressing
so
it.
When we did the New Year's thing, I said that, you know, instead of this scripted prayer that I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how your prayer life is or how you talk to Christ, but for so long, mine was so scripted. Like, scripted, I mean, by when like almost pastor like the Lord's in prayer men's Bible. Well, when
not that far,
but. but when you go to a men's breakfast or a men's Bible study and pastor or somebody else says, "Hey, Antone, why don't you close this in prayer?" And you go, "Whoa, okay, Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this, and I hope that everybody has a good week and guide everybody home and grant us with wisdom." I know it did that last time, but it isn't showing. But that script,
it does show up, dude. It's in the pod every single time. It shows up.
Well, that's good because they think he's doing something. So. But do you know what I mean by a scripted prayer of
right.
every time you pray out loud or you pray in front of a group of people, this is what I'm going to say.
Right. It's not
thank
genuine.
You, God, or Father God, we love you so much. We just want to thank you for this, that, which is okay. That's good.
Yeah, it's not
but when
it's bad,
you wake up in the morning and you do the same thing, Father God, I thank you so much. I just pray that everybody gets to work on time and everybody has a good day and they, you know, the weather's bad. I hope everybody makes it. Thank you for my wife, my kids, blah, blah, blah. End.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I prayed this morning. Why does my life suck?
Right.
And God's like, I don't know. Let's talk about it. I already did. I told everybody have a good day at work. So that's been my prayer life for a long time. Granted, the times that my life has not been going so good, and I'm like, God!
Screaming up to the sky.
Right. You know, the typical, like, if you do this for me, I promise I won't do this anymore. You know,
mm-hmm. if you get me out of this situation.
Yeah. So yeah. what we talked about before the new year was how to change that up and talk to God more like he's a peer. You know, he's not just a peer. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's above everything. But have a conversation with him like we're having a conversation right now. So in the mornings, you know, obviously I get and I say, you know, Father God, hey, we love you. I love you so much. But here's
we. Who are you praying for?
Everybody. All like, of you guys.
Do you
so
have
I can
multiple
stop
personalities?
That. No, we love you. I'm talking about everybody that's you. Close to me.
Talks to the
you know
shadow
what? Fine.
People.
I'm going
to
stop praying. I'm
just kidding.
So when I talk to him, though, after I give God the flowers that he's due, I say, here's what I got going on. I am a mess.
And in detail, can you explain to me what this flowers thing is?
That's given your accolades. Given, okay. you know, like the matador and people throw their flowers because he did good.
Dude, you know what matadors do?
Okay. We don't. All right.
Oh, no. I just, sorry. I didn't
however, now that conversation turns to talking out loud in my head sometimes of, and it's multiple times a day now, not just in the morning, but.
Yes, throughout the day.
Man, I am, okay, God. And I always address like, God, okay. Before I went to FCA, I'm like, hey, God, here's the deal. I'm about to go and talk to these kids, but I'm a train wreck. How can I justifiably go talk to these kids when my life's a mess? Help me with wisdom and with discernment talk to these kids and not talk to them like I am better or have my stuff together. But talk to them like I've gone through the same thing. In the mornings, God, this was my issue yesterday. First thing this morning. Help me clean up this gutter in my brain. I can't do it without you. That's the biggest thing that I've been trying to do this year is admitting that I can't
give
do
it.
It.
To him.
Yeah.
I cannot do it myself. Mm-hmm. I need your help. And then accepting the fact that when I go on throughout the day that he's not just going to flip a switch in my brain that says, well, you're not going to cuss anymore. He's gonna put that voice in my head that says, really, do you need to say that?
It's going to, that conviction.
That goes
come
there
through.
As the words are coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Or, did you need to do that? Did you need to look at that? Did you need to do this? I'm here and I'm screaming at you in the back of your head, but you keep going, I know what's better. God, please help me not do this anymore.
People call well, that conscience, but that's God.
It is. It's right. The Holy Spirit that's going.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people, and I was guilty of this for a long time, and I've been working on changing it, but treat God like a genie.
Yeah.
Oh, but they forget.
Genie.
Yep. they forget it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not a request form.
No.
Where it's like, all right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, all right, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. And then expect it. No. It's a relationship. It's, you got to work on it with him.
It's give and take.
It's exactly. And it's kind of like, so remember when the disciples were on the boat and they're mm-hmm. in the middle of the storm and Jesus walked out and saved them?
Well, sleeping. Or wait, no, yeah. This is when.
Yeah, so this is when he was, he sent them out. He said, all right.
I'll meet you over there.
Yep, I'm going to go on the mountain and pray. Well, he waited 8 hours to save them, storm. And then he walked out and he's like, okay, come on. And then that's when Peter walked out.
Peter, yeah.
Because Peter's like, well, if you're really Jesus, call me out to you. He's like, okay, come on. But before he did all of that, he waited 8 hours to let them go through the storm. And I think.
And he was spending that 8 hours talking to his
father. Right. Talking in like prayer. Bro. And they were learning. They were going through it. Because mm-hmm. going back like the genie, we expect, all right, God, get me out of this rotten situation. Bam, mm-hmm. fixed. No, it's a process. And we have to, I think that helps us to appreciate his salvation and what he does for us, but then also appreciate the gifts, right? Because it's not instant. Bam. No, we have to work on it with him and we have to go through it with right. him. And so then just like with the boat, he waited 8 hours for them to go through this horrible storm. They're rocking side to side. And then he's like, okay, now I'll save you. After you went through it and after you're working through it, now we'll do it together.
Because he was trying to teach you something.
Exactly.
See, and that's the beauty yep. of going through trials and having Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's the key word, going through. Everybody wants to get out of it. They don't want to have to go through it. But you have to go through it to become stronger.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that everybody wants the quick fix and like, hey, can I just get out of this?
You know, right. and that's...
But no, dude, you're not going to learn nothing. You get out of it.
Right.
Because it's still going to be there. And you may not cross that path now. But one day you will. You better pray that Christ is with you to get you through it.
Right.
You know, and that's a big thing now when I talk and listen to younger guys, younger than me, that want the relationship stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't this happening for me right now? Why am I running through all these speed bumps, which is right where I was?
Yeah, you've been there. Yeah.
But, and this is not saying this is going to be the same for all of you guys, but I was 37 years old. And I was in a lot of relationships that lasted a lot of years that were nightmares.
Yeah.
And now I'm blessed with a wonderful wife and a wonderful situation. And now I have younger guys going like, whoa, good for you. Why isn't that happening for me? And I'm like, dude,
you're like, you didn't know the road that it took to get here. Go through it.
Wrap yourself in barbed wire and then get dragged down the road
mm-hmm.
in an emotional roller coaster from hell.
Right. If
Jesus made him wait 8 hours.
Right.
God made me wait 37 years. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to go through these lessons. But I didn't want
to
listen.
Bro, you were sitting in the waiting room, in God's waiting room, and they, like, called your number, like, 100 times ago, bro.
And I'm like,
waiting, like, oh, wait, they already called this number.
And I'm just like, you know, going through this nightmare.
Yeah.
Because
I've been
God's
there
like,
so many times too,
are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? And then I'm like, I'm a Christian now. You're not listening, though.
Yeah.
Anybody can call themselves a Christian. Anybody can call themselves anything.
Mm-hmm.
But until you put in the work, you're not that. Anybody can be on a job site and say they're the boss. But until you put in the work, nobody's going to respect you.
Right. Well, and kind of building off like what you were saying, you know, you have to go through it. And so we look at problems and we go, oh gosh, how can I get out of it?
Yeah.
And we're looking at it with a bad attitude with, oh, this is a bad day.
Yeah.
But if we change it, and I'm super guilty. I'm very guilty of this. But if we look at it with the attitude of, okay, what can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. What's God trying to teach me? And then how can I use this to help other people? Right? So for instance, you were talking about it took 37 years to find your wife. And so now you're going to be able to help younger men with their relationships and go, oh no, that's not good. I've been there, done that. You don't want to, right? Or no, now you're on the right path. This is kind of, now you have that to serve other people. And
don't look at me, bro.
It's just it's interesting. It's all about perspective. We have as humans naturally.
It really isn't bad even perspective. Even you guys too. I mean, we're all young. Mm-hmm. Adam. but you know, like it's you know, there's you don't have to get to a certain age to be like, oh yeah, no, I've been through that, you know, too. It's like your age doesn't determine the situations you've been through. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you could be a child and go through the worst thing ever.
Right.
There's you high know? School kids right now that have been through so much more.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's through. One of those things where, you know, and if they take that mindset and they find Christ, because Christ, I think, is the one that cultivates a mindset like that. Yeah. You can't cultivate that on your own, no, dude, no, because no. you're just going to be like, it just doesn't work. Christ will tell you like, hey, I got you.
Right.
You are in my hands. This that's, sucks, I know, but we're going to get through it, and you're going to be stronger for it.
So that's a lot of the videos that I've been putting out. I know Anton watches it. You guys probably don't, but
fine. I see him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he doesn't like or subscribe or share.
He already is.
Yeah,
I can't because I don't have a social media.
I know that. Bro. I know that. So, you know, a lot of it is who's in your corner. And who better to be in your corner than Christ?
Yeah, that's the only like person you want.
He's got your back.
I mean, then brothers too.
We've talked about. Well, that yeah, many your times. Brothers, but Christ has got your back more than even your brothers do.
Yeah,
your best friend doesn't have your back more than Christ does.
Right.
Because you can do your best friend so dirty, and they're like, "For a while, I'm going to take a break from you."
Right.
Christ never. You can drag him through the mud, and he's like, "I still got your back." You gosh, can. Dude,
that's what just it makes me feel so
bad. I mean, when you go home and you lay down and like,
bro,
just the things, just the guilty shame yeah, of the day to day life and the things that we think about, which Christ, first off, doesn't want you to feel that way.
No, that he died. So
he
that
wants you to go to bed, lay your head on a pillow of clouds and go. He wants you to recognize that you are a knucklehead, but he doesn't want you to feel bad for it.
Right.
He just wants you to recognize that that's what you're doing. And when you wake up the next day, try not to do it again. Mm-hmm. But he knows that you're going to wake up every day and do it again and again and again and again and again. And that's why God from the Old Testament was like, man, these guys are not getting, I've turned people into pillars of salt. I've destroyed nations. I've flooded the earth. I've done everything. And they're still not getting it. I narrowed it down to like what, six people? Yep. They procreate it and they still don't get it. How can I fix this? I don't know. Maybe, well, I got to become human and come down and experience it for myself. So he comes down, he does it, and he does it perfectly, but he looks at everybody around him and he's like, I guess they're just not going to get it. I'm the only one. Dies the most horrific death.
Betrayed by his friends.
Yeah, he already knew that was going to happen.
Bro.
Like, before he even became man, he knew.
He knew.
That by 33, he didn't even get to make it to 65, 80, no, 33 years. He's like, oh, man, I only get that long? And he dies a horrific death to forgive us knuckleheads that get to live 100 years and go, even on her deathbed at 100 years, walking life with Christ, laying in your deathbed, and a nurse comes and you're like, dang, I wish I got... Christ is like, are you kidding me? Yep. Are you kidding me?
You're almost there, man.
But he's not going to send you to hell. Yeah. He's going to be like... Yeah. You prayed and then the girl came in and you're like, hey, dang... That's why he hung on a cross, because we can't get it together,
right? Yeah.
And it's not just us guys, women the same way.
Yeah.
He went through hell so we didn't have to.
Exactly. Through the worst part of it, he took everything that we deserve just for doing the littlest thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He took it. Serial killers have accepted Christ. One of the very first sermons that Rick ever preached not that he caught your attention, but I caught my attention when he was like, well, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Ted Bundy. What?
Right.
You said what?
I mean, it goes back to Paul.
What church? Yeah, but I was so wet behind the ears. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting back in the back of it, and he's like, I know that for sure when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet Ted Bundy. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the right church because I don't think our heavens are the same.
Yeah.
Like, are you? I don't know if you're teaching us to go to the right heaven. Then he explained it, and he said that they had a bit of a men's conference here at the church where they got all the guys together and they watched a documentary on Ted Bundy and his conversion in prison.
They watched that at men's Bible study?
It wasn't Bible. I think it was a like movie night, but they're like, hey, all the guys, come and watch this.
Bro, that thing's about to break.
It probably will, and that'll be gold.
That'll be something we clip and
I'll fall out of the chair.
Done it before, again. And it was probably my most favorite podcast.
So,
he's like small. He fell in slow motion. He's like, oh no!
So then he said that, and I started watching different Ted Bundy documentaries.
Oh really?
None of them were about his conversion.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
and you're like, where am I? So
yeah, all I knew was he was a serial killer in the 70s. And then I'm like, he's where?
This the same guy Rick was talking like, about?
What? And then I finally found one where it kind of talked about it. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm so wet behind the ears of my faith that now I'm going to tell all my friends that it's no matter how bad you messed up, you can, you know. And then I bring up Ted Bundy, and they're like, whoa.
Like, you
no. Like, yeah, they're like, no. And then that, you know, snowballed into, so you're telling me child molesters and rapists and this and this and that, they're in heaven. They can get, I said, I didn't say they're all going to heaven. I'm just saying that they got an opportunity to change that life around. And it doesn't matter whether it's 1 year, 1 minute, 1 second before. They accept Christ.
It's a
that's
heart,
it.
Yeah, heart relationship.
The thief on the cross never been to church.
Right.
We don't know what he did to get to that cross to be crucified.
Yeah, like the
we
worst
don't know
punishment
what he
at the time.
Yeah,
but he believed.
Yeah, it wasn't like
he didn't. It was within moments. Mm-hmm. He was like, the one thief was like, ah, if you're dog, tell your angels to come get you off the cross. Like, yeah, look at this joker, haha. And the other guy was like, hey, man, I don't know what's going on right now, but could you remember me
right
when you get in? And he's like, hey,
you'll be with
I tell you today, we will. Be. Can you imagine that? All the prophets, everybody that's in heaven before Christ. And they're like, all right, lay out the red carpet. Here he comes. Dun, 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 dun. And he shows up with this guy, this bum that he's like, hey, hi, here comes Jesus. And they're like, yay, Jesus, yeah, you're here. You did a perfect life. And then here comes this dude. Like, they're like, hey, what's your name?
Terry.
My name is Jeff. And they're like, wow, what'd you do? I don't know. Where'd you go to church? What is that? Where were you baptized? I don't know. How did you get here? That's a good question. I asked that guy, and here I am.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, when he said, remember me in your kingdom, Jesus didn't go, sure, but first you got to do this. You got to get baptized. You got to give to the poor. You got to go to church.
He didn't
even
recite the sinner's prayer. These churches that are like, you have to pray this, and then you're saved.
Yeah,
there was no
sinner's
prayer.
That right
there
should stomp out all the division we have with splitting hairs in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many different denominations, so many different beliefs. You have to be baptized. You have to
no, you don't
say three Hail Mary, whatever it is, dude. And it's like, no, it is literally Christ.
However, I do believe that baptism is
necessary
when you can make that decision. It's not going to save you. However, it shows everybody around you that this is
you're serious about
an
this.
Inward change that I'm showing everybody on the outside.
And that right there could help someone else.
Exactly. Right. That's what that's for.
Like we're now, supposed the sinner's to help
prayer,
each other.
Yep. Do you need to pray the sinner's prayer to be saved? No. However, is that something that maybe you should go over in your own head?
Right.
To tell Christ, I need your help. Remember me.
Right.
When, you know, all that stuff. Brandon just started recording himself just now.
Like we got AI Brandon for this one, too.
It's a, but that's pretty incredible that that's all you got to do.
I know.
It doesn't take any kind of magic potion or magic water,
right?
Or any kind of snake scripted oil. Stuff. Yeah,
right.
Both, you gotta do is say, "Hey, man,
nothing."
I think even in Corinthians, Paul talks about reciting prayers mindlessly.
Yeah, you get into a routine. I mean,
bad habits.
Right. It's like we were talking about before the mics were on. I mean, it's like we. Are prone to cycles, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. It's
exactly.
You know what to expect.
Well, and you listen to people. I mean, everybody you listen to and all these Bible studies and church and everything, it always starts the same way, you know. X, Y, Z. Father God, we love you so much.
Yeah, it turns this. Into a checklist, bro.
And then it's just that checklist. Everywhere you go, and then you get into a men's breakfast or something, and somebody every now and then says a prayer, and you're like, where'd you learn that one?
I didn't even know you could pray.
I wish I would have known. Yeah, shooting from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to incorporate. But the thing of it is, I shoot from the hip when I think nobody else knows what I know. I've preached funerals.
Bible books.
Did this and that. And I'm like, bang, I'm shooting from the hip. I never... And then I get into a church setting where I know guys know what they're talking about. Like, and I'm like, I gotta impress these guys.
Yeah, but you get in your own head.
Even your dad comes.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard him pray at men's breakfast, and I'm like, dang, you must have practiced that all the way here with these big words. And then I pray, and I'm like,
shout out to your dad, dude. Me and him have had some great conversations.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah, he's pretty stellar when it comes to.
Mm-hmm.
Bible and his faith. It's fun to just like randomly start a conversation. Like, so dad, what do you think of?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just
he gets into it, man. Yeah. I mean, he's.
I never met my dad.
Wow. Curveball.
I have a dad. Not
yeah.
My real one.
So no more about dads.
My father is Jesus.
Hey, exactly, dude.
There you go.
Exactly. There we go. We all feel better now.
Yeah, dude.
So when you guys go home and face-to-face talk to you, I'm going to close my
eyes. The podcast is over.
That was street smart. No, that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is great, guys. I've had fun.
Yeah.
This is why when he proposed the question,
mm-hmm.
out of...
We went all over the place.
5,000 people that subscribe to all across the board and on Snapchat. I'm like,
I think we maybe will get more interaction, and you know, we love you guys.
We have with guests.
We want you guys to just.
Here's the thing, Street Smart is growing. Our ministry is growing, right?
Yeah.
Appreciate everybody.
Hey, man, it's fine. If you don't appreciate them, you can just say it, okay?
No, what I wanted to say is this started out with an idea that I had. And by the grace of God, Kevin came to an Easter cantata to sing in the choir. That's how we got to know each other. And then what happened?
Beautiful meet cute.
Then what happened?
Lots of things. Stuff and things and stuff.
We had podcasts in common. Yeah. And I said, I want to start one, and you wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
You've been here. But now look.
Yeah, our final episode, dude.
This is the last episode ever, guys. Thank you so much.
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, we went over a hard topic.
Yeah.
That was a tough topic, but I think we addressed it.
But we went
over it. As a house, I mean, that's tough, dude.
And we went over it so smooth without having to stumble.
As far as we think.
Well, yeah, but we didn't.
As soon as this is aired, bro.
The first time me and you talked about this on the podcast, it was a lot of, like, stumbling on, because it was me and you talking about how we felt about it. We didn't have any other perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from a source of, we were being presented with that at the time. I think you were being presented with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, how do we address this? Yeah. With very little. We studied it. We sent each other videos and stuff. And we were more or less going over the perspective of everybody else. And we're like, well, this is what it says, so that must be what it is.
Right.
We didn't have a group to bounce ideas off of. Mm-hmm. And so this felt more comfortable because it's just not me and Kevin talking about it. And like, well, yeah, you're right, whatever. Now we can say, what do you think? And challenge a little bit of what we think, maybe.
Because if you're going to talk about it.
Be about. So Kevin just ended the podcast. But no.
No, because you didn't do it right.
I love it. It was like a reflex, though. So. You just said, be about. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Not yet.
No, but I mean, that's super important, especially when you're interpreting the Bible, because Jesus spoke in metaphors.
Yeah.
He wasn't straightforward, so that way it is more applicable. And then I think then it initiates fellowship because it is so important.
Because he wants us to have conversations about it and grow closer to him.
Right. He was very direct about a few things, such as, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, right? Like, I'm the one way to heaven, and love your neighbor. Everything else was in metaphors. And I think it was intentional. So that way could.
That's awesome.
He could, you know, it initiates these conversations because they are so important.
Mm-hmm. Sure, dude.
And I think the other thing that I really liked about this is that you and I aren't so focused on. We're not sure what to do with our hands. Do we look at the camera? Do we look at each other? Where this felt more like we're just standing around talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the essence of what we wanted to bring to this podcast was, this is just there, but we're having a conversation. And it was a lot easier to have you guys, even though Brandon really didn't say anything. He didn't do anything.
I was absorbing it all.
I brought my microphone. I'll bring more microphones. Can we have the microphones from the church?
I like this microphone. I think it's pretty cool.
I like the red cable.
Yeah.
Hey.
Why do you have a blue one and a red one? We get.
You don't have. We have black ones.
It's a power move.
Black's cool too, bro.
It's
the newest people to the podcast have these expensive microphones, and we still got Kmart microphones.
Bro.
That's a $300 microphone. It's just that color and not that color. Because your brother was like, does it have phantom power?
Yeah. What does that mean?
You guys aren't phantoms yet.
Exactly.
Does that have phantom power? What is that?
We don't
mean?
Have phantom power.
These have, extra electricity.
I don't need a ghost. The only ghost I need is the Holy Spirit.
We have blue light special power.
How much longer do we want to go in this podcast?
I don't know why. What's going on?
I'm going to say, because I have another topic to talk about.
You can bring
another
it up.
Question, bro?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's hear it.
What do you think about ghosts?
Phantom. The phantom.
Here we go.
I think there's spirits just like we have a spirit, you know.
And we just lost everybody. The greatest podcast we ever recorded just got everybody to put unsubscribe.
We're angels, right?
I think, because I've thought about this a lot. I've talked about it a lot, right? My mom's super into the ghost shows. Mom and dad both are. Oh, yeah, they're going on a ghost hunt tour.
Sometime. I've been on those.
Yeah, see? They're going on one of those. So
we need to have, we need to save this.
Yeah, no.
Because
so,
I have a belief and I have a very strong statement about
it. Me too.
Yep. So that's going to be our next one. And I think that's going to be a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, so, and I'll go with this. It's funny that we're even bringing this up because on our Street Smart Facebook page, there's a lot of Christian sites that go through and they have, guess, memes or whatever, where they put words above it, and there's these people sitting around a table, I guess you would, like a medium,
seance,
sitting there, and they're all holding hands, and it said, there's no such thing, there's no such thing as the dead communicating or whatever, ghosts communicating or whatever, there's only demons.
That's what I believe.
Me too.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. It was a cartoon picture of everybody holding it, and that's crazy. There was everybody holding hands, and it was like, because you always, we watch the movies, we've all seen them, people communicate, and the ghost shows, like, if you're here, make yourself present, and they're like, you hear it in the background, like a little, you know,
I swear that wasn't a cat.
Yeah, but the caption of it, of this Christian site, they obviously put in their own caption. It was like, there's no such thing as communicating with the dead or whatever, talking to the dead. There's only demons to make you think that you're communicating with the dead.
Also had things.
Yep.
Also had other things, so maybe, yeah, no, we need to save that, dude.
So
that can be a whole podcast.
Here's my proposal, and I don't know what everybody's schedule is, and especially yours, Antone, being a strapping.
Don't do it on live, bro.
But do you want to come back?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, dude.
Be a part of it. We would love to have you. We've already talked about it. Like, Kevin's like, we already said that. We'd love to have you as a part of Street Smart. You articulate
so
well
you need
with
to
the
sign
kids
here, please.
Why does it say?
Because whatever you're being paid at your job, like, we haven't even invited Brandon. Like, he just shows up.
You've told him a bunch of times, bro.
But you're like, I don't even know why you talk to him.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Invited me what? To the podcast?
See?
That's the only invites I've ever gotten. What?
Why can't I realize? This is why you're just a whatever that cartoon character.
Memoji?
Emoji.
Memoji.
No, we would love to have you back. This was a great conversation. This is one of my top conversations. Yeah. Everything besides that was just a bunch of words. Nothing else mattered to me until tonight.
This is the only conversation you've ever had.
Other than that, it's just like, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that I feel and then whatever else, like, just let it go.
Anton, you're the catalyst for good conversations.
No. It's great to have you here. Yeah, now we have to get another microphone, because if we have another guest, then there's...
God just provides everything, bro.
He does. He does. And it's been coming to fruition. Me and Kevin been working at this, and we've been very passionate about this. We've made it a priority, and we just like getting it out there and putting it out. Kevin listens to the whole podcast. I don't. So
only sometimes.
I have now since the new year, or since Meredith's episode.
Have you listened to any of them, dude?
I have. I listened to them today.
Oh, which one's your favorite that you've listened to?
I listened to one today. And so,
we just invited you to be a part of the team, and you're like, you guys have been doing this for 2 years, but I listened to one today, and I listened to one Snapchat because whatever, he sent me a friend request.
I'm surprised you still came after that.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I want to be a part of this Street Smart Christian. What if you would have listened? We're like, you know what? This Christianity is a bunch of...
No, never, dude. Never.
No. We're growing. We're learning.
Yeah.
Like I said, Kevin and I started with just a web camera that sat on top of the computer.
I feel like we used a laptop a couple times.
Well, we were up there. We didn't even have a laptop. We didn't have a laptop until I bought this one.
Yeah. You guys have come so far. Look at it now.
Dude, you're not getting any accolades by saying how far we come, because you're lying.
Well, look.
You want to say, you guys, this is why I'm here, because you guys suck so bad.
Started with
you're
two,
like,
now
I would
four.
Like to amplify you guys, because you can't even hear you guys on the internet. You're just like, hey.
Wherever two gather, he'll be there in his name.
Right.
It's growing. No, Brandon, like I said, we like to because we usually trash each other and we haven't as much now because you're here.
I'm the little brother now. Yeah. But now we have an even littler brother.
And when you didn't show up and we were really, really going hard after you, I felt bad. And that's why I was like, he's going to edit this. So sorry, Brandon. Now Anton's here. So
right. Get ready, Anton.
But how do you bash somebody so well-versed and spoken?
Oh, he'll get his time, dude.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
But Anton,
okay. It'll come out.
I know that you have a lot going on. You are in flight school.
Yeah, is there anything you want to plug before we close it? Close it out. Anything? What's going on in your life?
What's going on?
When's your next show, or when are you flying us to Vegas?
Show. He's not a stand-up comedian.
You can find me. Broadway.
You just wanted to segue. Like, when are you going to fly us to places? Like, we want you to be a part of this ministry because we know you're smart enough to get a pilot's license, and we're dumb enough to get on the plane. So let's go.
Oh, do a show in the air.
Yeah, dude, on an air.
Oh, wow.
You got
podcast from the air.
I'll do it from the ground, and then you would
just
like...
You're afraid of flying, dude?
No, I'm not.
Just because of that, what happened this last weekend? What happened? Alaska?
The door flew off?
Alaskan planes.
Door came off?
Nobody died. Thank God. Some poor little kid was sitting there, and his shirt got ripped off him.
Wow.
Imagine that, dude. This, I guess the mom was like holding him in, his shirt got ripped off, and then is that crazy, dude?
Jeez,
sounds like a movie.
I'm hoping that Anton is the next Sully, you know.
Well, I hope I don't experience anything like that. I'll
I
be
hope
prepared
not
for
either.
It.
But if we're on a plane with you and the engines go out, you land us in the water safely.
What was the one with Denzel?
Oh. Anton, don't be that pilot.
Okay,
don't. Yeah,
you
be
know
that
what
pilot.
I'm talking about?
I've heard of it. I had some coworkers tell me. About
don't
it.
Watch that movie. If you become that pilot, then we have to have another conversation about you being on this podcast because you're waking up in hotel rooms doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Even though in a pinch you saved the flight, but.
I'm pretty sure he still went to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, no.
But thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
For this conversation. Guys. That was great. I'm glad that I saved that topic for tonight. We can all discuss it because not one of us is going to the gallows. All of us are.
And, in the name of Christ, I'll go anywhere, man.
Yeah. Remember me, Lord, when you enter your kingdom. And if y'all are going to talk about it,
you got to be about it. It wasn't go.
Did you hear how he said it? You got to be about it.
Sorry.
Good, dude.
You got to be about it. What do you want?
No,
what
dude.
What do you want from me?
Do a different accent.
You got to be about it. Give us your best be about it. If you're going to talk about it,
you got to be about it.